you know, where the first line would be like, Falanako tori, falanako tora, derei sune kahani, palo koile aula. You know, just simple words.
I've got the chills.
For many years, thousands of Nepalis have been moving overseas with the hopes of a better education, job, and lifestyle. Some find success in conventional fields, while some carve their own paths. Who is to say one is better than the other? Success is a journey, not a destination. So come on this journey with me, where we connect with our Nepali communities living overseas and explore their conventional and unconventional paths. My name is Sankalpa Gurung, and this is Hamro Yatra. And welcome to Hamro Yatra. Today we have with us Aisha Giri, our first guest from New Zealand. With a degree in hospitality and events management, Aisha has worked tirelessly to build a career in marketing. But she will always be a musician at heart. The only female leading a band during the second season of Sprite Band Challenge back in 2010 in Kathmandu and winning the second runner-up award, Aisha is a force to reckon with. In this episode, we deep dive into Aisha's childhood, her growing up in a conservative family, and breaking through societal barriers. We also discuss how therapy has helped her and the importance of it. Having gone through different life's adversities, it is so uplifting to hear Aisha be so positive and still have the drive to build her empire. I cannot thank Aisha enough for trusting me with her story and being so open and vulnerable. I hope her journey inspires you to have more empathy and be kinder to yourself and others. As always, if you enjoy these conversations, please share with your friends and family. Remember to follow our Instagram page at hamro.yatra for updates, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also financially support us on thisishamroyatra.com/support. Welcome to Hamro Yatra, Aisha. Thank you for making time for us today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for thinking of me. It's awesome.
Of course. Now, Aisha, we'd like to start the podcast with a few icebreakers. The first question being, if you could choose any superpower, what would you choose?
I think I've always been about freedom of movement and freedom of speech. So anything to be intangibility or teleportation. Because I guess every musician wants to travel, you know. They are all about freedom of speech and freedom of movement. And one thing Amra Nepaliko biggest concern is our passport.
Yes, 100%.
We always questioned twice, thrice, no matter how good, you know, you portray yourself or you show yourself to be. It always comes down to what passport you have. And I think teleportation for me.
That'd be perfect. I remember when I still had the Nepali passport, you'd have to think twice about where you travel, right? Like there is only a list of countries that you have to wait months visas for. So that I definitely understand.
Yeah. And I went to Rarotonga. It's just an island down New Zealand. And I went to an island. We don't even need visa to get there. And they actually put me aside because they saw my Nepalese passport.
For real?
And you'd never get questioned in Rarotonga.
Wow.
Yeah, they were like, oh, well, we've never seen a handwritten passport. And I was like, well.
I had that once before as well. It's like, wait, it is handwritten. Like, which country is this? They were very surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad, but it's also unique, but it's sad.
Yeah. Now, Aisha, if you could choose one dish for the rest of your life, what would you pick?
Oh, I think everybody would say dal bhat. But as much as I have love for dal bhat, I really love a good fresh bread with butter and yak cheese.
Is it more like sourdough or just any bread?
Fresh bread, any bread.
Yeah.
Has to be fresh, but with yak cheese and butter. That's one of my favorite thing to eat. I will be happy any time of the day.
I can't remember the last time I had yak cheese. It always reminds me of my childhood in Kathmandu.
Yeah.
Whenever we'd go to New Road to like do grocery shopping with my mom, she'd always buy a block of yak cheese for me as like a thank you for coming to shopping with me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually like gold, you know, like over here, you come here, you're the like blue cheese brie, Cambrai, and then back home, it's just cow cheese or yak cheese.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Aisha, if you could go back into Nepal's history, any historical moment, is there any particular time that you'd like to go back into?
Wow. That's a very good question. Just regarding Nepali era, I think it's very hard for me personally because even today you have such a, you know, excess amount of gender equality that I think I would not want to go to any era of our times, because right now it's already hard for us, you know, as soon as we are women, we are worse off than men by the thing we wear, even if we have the same ambition, same sort of taste, same sort of a dressing sense, men are still better off than women. And I think, if I had to choose, it would definitely be 70s, 80s. Yeah, just for the fact how
I can see that whole freedom of like travel, like music as well.
Yeah, and just how chilled I think Nepal was. I think a lot of law that was laid after 70s, 80s were more influenced by the Indian law. But Nepal was actually so chilled. I meet so many Kiwis here that's, you know, been to Nepal 70s, 80s. And they say it was one of the best chilled country. And now, sure, people are nice, you know.
Yeah.
But it's an intense country, you know. Yeah.
It's definitely not the same.
It's definitely not the same. The calmness, the, you know, when you go in the roof, you used to see the Himalayan range. And now, yeah, it's just not the same as what I remember, eh?
Yeah, like even just from when we were growing up in Kathmandu to now when you go back, there's so much change that you have to take a step back and think, oh, shit, this is Kathmandu.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is quite, like, sad. Every time I've traveled from Nepal to take a flight, I always get asked very horrendous question by the immigration officer. Where's your father? Where? How can they send you abroad? How can you go by yourself? Don't you have any shame? I'm like, you're not paying my bills. You always needed to have a power there at the airport as well, just to make your life a bit smoother.
Of course, the source force.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Aisha, before we talk about where you are today, I wanted to talk more about growing up in Nepal. How was your childhood like? How were you as a child?
I think I was fortunate enough to get education. I come from, obviously, a good family, but I come from a very conservative family.
Okay.
And I think I have a twin sister who's 7 minutes younger to me. Being a woman, being the elder kid of your family, you already are robbed of your childhood.
The pressure.
Because the amount of pressure that you get, the amount of things to do on how you're supposed to behave, to how you're supposed to talk, to dress, to not even question. You know, I'd ask question to dad saying, why do we pray Lord Krishna? Because he's got how many girlfriends? That was just the child's question.
Yeah.
And I'd get told off by saying that I'm a rebel and I shouldn't be questioning anything.
Borta nobol, kina janne politeko, right?
Kina janne politeko. And I think also one of the reason is that our society, we often don't talk about it, but in our society, there's always one child who's harassed, who's discriminated by auntie, uncles, and their cousins. And that was me in the family. And for me, I think it even brought me even more power to come to a country where I knew nobody, no one, not even a soul. And I just wanted to prove myself that I could.
Yeah. So just growing up in that environment, was it very different for you and your sister, even though you were twins?
It was, because I read a meme somewhere saying that my sister or my brother and I have the same parent, but my parents are stricter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just how it is. And it's a lot of freedom for her and just no freedom for me, even though I'm here. Even today, if I make a decision, it affects my family as a whole.
I am the elder child as well. And I completely understand this pressure to be a certain person.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I've been completely okay being that person, right? So I've been this goody two shoes, saying yes to everything, doing well in my studies, etc. But I think there comes a time when you start questioning everything.
Yeah.
And I think the last few years is like my time to question, asking, hold on, like, why do I feel this way? It's probably because something happened in my childhood that, you know, made me this way. And I do the things a certain way. So like, I love asking these questions to people about their childhood, because I think so much of who they are today is shaped by how their childhood was.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad, you know, I even had to go through therapy for child abuse because I just didn't have a voice.
Mm.
And that's why I know that now I have been shaped who I am, what I am today, by what I've faced.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair for any child to go through what even a good family, you know, I can't even imagine what a family that is not financial stable, you know, children from those family.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine how they go through that period or that stage.
Mm. I was actually telling my husband this story once where, I don't know if you went through this as well, but when you're a child and you get into an accident, right? Like you're clumsy, you fall down and you're hurt. You start crying, not because of the pain that you're feeling, but because of the scolding you might get from your parents.
Yeah.
Now, just take a step back and think about it, right? You're like, how insane is that? As a child, 5-6 years old, you're not even concerned about how much in pain you are in, but you're thinking about how much trouble you're going to get into because you fell down. And that's just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. And while, you know, you share the story, it's the same story as how most of our parents don't see that the decision or the expectation that they want from us is really designed to make the society happy.
Mm.
Really not me happy or them happy.
Yeah.
When you actually think of it, and it's all about the society. And the thing is that it's hard to explain to them as how the society works. They're already so old. They're less likely to change their ways, less likely to, you know, change the pattern of their thinking.
Yeah, they're more resistant.
And I can't blame them.
Yeah.
And just trying to work around them, it's, I think, harder for us generation, especially when you don't have a son in the family.
Yeah.
When you are the elder one, and especially when you're brown.
Yeah.
Kalo boyo, fair and lovely logo, kalo cha, skolle bia gar cha, band ma cha, skolle bia gar cha, folk music gar, you know. And there's just no freedom at all.
My nickname growing up was Kali.
Oh, like, awesome. You know. Kali Moti.
I feel like everyone has a Kali in their family. I'm one of them.
Yeah. And you're not even that Kali.
Oh, this was because like London ma basera kham dekhnu na paira alikati matra goro bhako. But wait till I'm back. So
yeah, the Australian sun, you'll get all the
You'll 10. Get me. Exactly. Yeah. But like, and I love my colorness. Like, you know, I revel in it. Like, I love it. It's part of me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't change that. Like, if someone came and told me, like, you know what? I'll make you fair. I'm like, no, thank you. I don't want it.
No, thank you. I think it's amazing that you already feel that now, because it just took me like maybe a couple of years to be okay with it.
Yeah.
And obviously, Nepalma or the Kali chas, kasle bia garcha, ta naramri chas, always been told, mo kati naramru chu, always been told what I do is wrong.
Mm.
And just the sadness, you know, how do I explain it? When you have been told from your child that you are not good enough, no matter how long you train yourself, it's really hard to come out of that.
Of course.
It's really, really hard to, come out of that headspace and tell yourself that you are okay, you know?
You are worthy. Yeah.
Yeah, you are worthy. A lot of Kiwi girls that I work with here, they were, you know, they'd say, can I touch your skin? I'm like, yes, touch me. I'm like, are you sure? And the amount of respect and love I get here, just for me being me, is something incomparable to anywhere, you know, especially in Nambro or Nepalma.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you're going to therapy as well. Has that helped you a lot with coming to terms with how things are?
I think I've realized that I can't change my parents and all this. I know it's quite embarrassing for, you know, if my parents would hear that I went to therapy, but I think a lot of people should hear this because it's a big struggle for us.
It is.
For me, even coming out of the therapy, I think I became, you just don't, it doesn't hurt less.
Mm.
You just learn to deal with it better.
Yeah, 100%.
It's still the same pain. It is still the same wound. You can't replace your parents.
Mm.
You can't replace your parents' love. But I think I just got so better at dealing with it, you know, that, yeah, it has made me come out of the stronger end.
Yeah. Therapy, I think, definitely helps with understanding your own emotions, why you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And like you said, you can't change what's happened or what could even happen, but you can try to understand how you react to it. And I think therapy really helps with that.
Yeah, really, really helps with that. Yeah. And I do a bit of meditation just to calm my mind, you know.
I think this whole like COVID lockdowns and whatnot, I've been so into meditation that I have to meditate at least 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Because if I don't do it by the end of the day, I start feeling that there is some, like, I just feel very anxious.
Yeah, something missing or you haven't done enough or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So Aisha, then around 2010, you left for New Zealand, right?
I left 20, yeah. You've got it right.
Wow, that's been 11 years.
Yeah.
Now, was there any other reason to come to New Zealand besides just a place where you knew no one?
My main plan was never to leave Nepal.
Mm.
But my father saw me performing at the Sprite Band Challenge. I think I was the only girl who was leading a band.
Mm.
I was the only girl in how many ever band that had applied that year.
Yeah.
And I think he saw me on TV with my band, and a week later, he said, choose a country or I choose for you, because this is a big embarrassment for the family. Mm. You can either choose to sing folk songs or you've got to stop this. So I just looked at the map and I saw New Zealand. It was farthest away. There was nobody here I knew.
Mm.
Because in our society, sadly, if you take, you know, if I go to Australia, if I go to UK, if I know my auntie, uncle there, they really take the credit of you being the person you are today.
Of course.
I was not going to let that happen. I'd rather suffer. I'd rather be hungry.
Mm.
Didn't let anyone dim my light.
Yeah, I get that. I went to America for my studies, and the reason I chose America was because I knew no one there.
Yeah.
As simple as that. Like, I knew I had limited time, 4 years. Yeah. I'm like, I want to live this 4 years my way.
Yeah. I think a lot of people should see this as power as well.
Mm. So coming to a country where you knew no one, how did you manage just studies and making a life for yourself? What kind of challenges did you face?
I think all kind, eh? I mean, yeah. It was very hard because you aren't taught a lot at home how to deal with a lot of things abroad. You are just expected to come here blindly knowing anything about the country or how it works or, you know, even choosing the subject. Us Nepalese, we rely on our consultant, our agency.
Mm.
It was really, really hard. But my main motto in life that I learned from my principal is nothing is impossible. And the word impossible itself says I am possible.
Mm.
I've never categorized myself coming from a third world country, but yeah. I've always categorized myself as a person. And I've always believed if that person can do it, so can I.
Yeah.
I've never even compared the opportunity between a Kiwi or Mexican or Indian or Chinese person.
Mm.
But I always try to hone what I know, my hardworking ethics, my Nepali, you know, the drive that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I just took this as an individuality.
Yeah.
And never compared myself. And I always thought everything was possible. And I stand here today as an example. Because I have made the impossible what I thought possible.
Mm. I can't even imagine how difficult it must have been. And that's 10, 11 years ago, right? You know, you didn't have much technology like we do now.
No.
And just coming to a place that you know no one in, finding a job, right? Sustaining yourself and finding a job after you graduate. It's a lot that people don't think about. Like people can see you today and be like, oh, Aisha is doing XYZ, like, you know, but no one can see like what you've gone through.
Yeah. A lot of people say you're lucky.
Yeah.
And I don't consider myself lucky at all. Sure, I was lucky enough to come here, but I had to create all the luck then, you know?
Exactly.
To be where I'm at. Because if today, if 1 week I fail at my work, they're not going to invite me next week or going to have the same respect, or I'm not going to be able to grow at my work.
100%.
That people actually don't realize that, and especially coming from, you know, Mamu, Dada, where whenever so-and-so cousin are doing this, so-and-so are doing this, they send this much money. And I just told him, do you know how hard it is to live in New Zealand?
Yeah.
The living expense here is like top two in the world to equivalent to how much you get paid, you know, the average. But for me to explain to them that this is not States or UK, where the dollar value is so high as well and there's endless cash jobs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a different scenario where there were only, I think, 150 Nepalese at that time when I came here.
Wow.
The scenario was so hard. I had to, you know, all my target was to get the fees sorted for the next year.
Mm.
The hardest part was on my second year when I was sick and hungry for 3 days, where my boss was like, she'd never missed a job. I'm going to go to a house. And I was sick there, couldn't talk with tonsillitis and fever. If she wouldn't have come, you know, I don't know what would have happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these stories, I can't even share this with my parents because they take it so by heart as well, you know. And they see problems in my life as their failure.
Yeah.
Where they don't understand that there's always problems. You become 35, your problem. There's 40, you've got different set of problems, you know.
Yeah. And I think something that's hard for our parent generation is not to take things personally. Like you said, we tell them something that we're going through and they'll take it upon themselves and make it their problem, as in like some it's to do with them, but it's not about them. It's about us. So, you know, like, how do you make my problem all about you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about them, and that we can't compromise, and then we're not good enough daughter or this and that, you know, and it's like you can never win.
Mm.
No matter how good you are trying to do.
Yeah. Now, Aisha, you're currently working as a marketing manager. You've got 7-8 years of experience in public relations, marketing, events management. How did you go about pursuing this interest and making a name for yourself there? Like, I know you just mentioned that your company just won the Best Fund Award as well yesterday. So congratulations.
Thank you.
What was the process there for you?
I think just believing in yourself, because I got this job by myself, which I'm really proud of. There was no reference from Estley, Bonera, Bike, or your job.
Source Force.
The funny thing is that I studied hospitality and event management. And now I'm working as marketing and design for Pathfinder, which is the NZ leading ethical fund for KiwiSaver. But in all of this, I worked hospitality management for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I tweaked my CV in such a way that I would get an office job just so I could get my foot in.
Mm.
Because in the end, when you do your hospitality job, when you manage people, when you talk to people, it is still customer service. It is still dealing with various different kinds of crowd. And from there, I got a job as a marketing executive for Auckland Institute of Studies. I always wanted a job where you could travel to Nepal for free. That has been my dream. I couldn't even believe that I made that dream come true. I used to travel to Nepal 4 times a year.
Wow.
Yeah, I dealt with all the big consultancy and agencies that sends students abroad in India, Nepal, Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
I basically, you know, used to also give personality development, as well as how can you survive abroad in New Zealand as well as abroad.
Mm-mm.
You really need to do your research, and also letting students know whether they're actually interested in their subjects.
Mm.
They'd be like, oh, you could get IT, you could get residency via IT. But I'm like, do you like IT?
Yeah.
Are you going to be good at it? If you can't, how can you promise yourself a job?
Exactly.
And that's why I show my example where I'm very good with people. Mm. I'm very good with managing things from hospitality end to any project that's thrown at me. And now I work for our mothership is Alvarium, who looks after around $16 billion around the world.
Wow.
Where we are the branch of the company Pathfinder Asset Management, where everything we do is ethical.
Mm.
So we support women livelihood to, you know, being mindful about where even I buy my coffee. It's changed me in such a huge phase. I've always wanted to go to Nepal and obviously do business there and bring Nepal to the world.
Mm.
But now with this, I've got a, you know, new in a way that I can do this more mindfully.
Yeah.
And it can be done via you no matter where you are.
Mm. It's opened new doors for you.
It has opened the doors for me, and there's only 9 years of carbon left where no one talks about, and it doesn't matter where you are in US, Nepal, you're still in the same earth.
It impacts everyone.
Everyone, you know, and I think coming to that point where Azabuli, you can see, you know, all the Nepalese youth supporting no plastic, support local. It really brings my heart to joy.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do now, you know, really. And all of this experience has molded me. I've always believed we Nepalese are Nepal ambassador, every Nepali. I always, always believe that because I meet someone from Germany, maybe, or from Holland. They categorize Nepali as how they are seeing you.
Yeah, exactly.
People really got to remember that, you know, you are really an ambassador. You don't need to have a title.
Mm.
But I think I've always had that in me. I've always kept that in me. And it's always been about Nepal, for Nepal, and always in the future as well. I really want to do something mindful.
Very exciting, Aisha.
Yeah. But all of this conclusion is that, it, you know, once you've really, really worked hard, doesn't matter what you've studied, like you actually push yourself, believe in yourself, and you get there.
Yeah, 100%. Now, you've mentioned bits and pieces about how involved you were in music when you were in Nepal. And I know you do some gigs in Auckland as well. So you mentioned that there's some exciting projects happening this year or next year. Could you walk us through that?
So music has always been my happiness, my go-to since I was 14.
Mm.
I think my principal really pushed me to sing.
Yeah.
And from then, I've never stopped. Obviously, I got sent here because of my singing, where my family was very embarrassed.
Mm.
And I came here, I gave up music for 3-4 years, and I went right back into it because it really brought me happiness.
Yeah,
I really felt like I can't give this up.
Mm.
And a lot of love that I still receive from people, oh my God, thank you very much. But that really pushes me through where they're like, hey, I can't keep thinking of your, you know, I can't stop myself thinking of your song, or you are really good, or I remember you from Inflicted Band, and it brings my heart to joy.
You are really good though. Like, and I was recently for this interview, I was looking through videos and I was like, oh my God, like it was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I think now for me, I really feel like I found my individuality on how I want to present myself, especially in the Nepal music scene.
Mm.
I'd really want to show that, yes, we Nepali girls can do this or be this or have abs or, I don't know, or sing like Adele.
Yeah.
And just have the confidence in just yourself.
Mm.
My plan before COVID was to get something out by end of this year.
Yeah.
But with the situation, highly unlikely, I've also been working with Divaskurung.
Mm.
Divastai.
Yeah. Oh, he's lovely.
He is magician. He is magic. We've been working via here and there, which has been quite hard. And I've taken a break for a wee while.
Mm.
But obviously, you know, due to the situation that the crisis that has hit the world as well. And yeah, it's postponed a wee bit, but we're not missing out on anything. And I feel like it just has to be done right, you know?
Yes.
I've already got 7 songs ready, 3 English, 4 Nepali. I already have talked with a few of the producers back in Nepal as well who are already keen to work with me. So I've locked them in.
Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, and I really wanted to do something just specially for Nepal music scene to start with.
Mm.
I feel like a lot of people tell me that, oh, Buriba is sakes, but you know what? J-Lo only became popular when she was 32. No one realizes that.
And have you seen her at 50? Age is just a number.
Age is just a number, exactly. And I'm not stressing myself out saying that I'm losing time, but hopefully by end of next year, I'll have something to share with you all.
We're waiting. We're so excited.
Thank you, Sam. So good. Thank you.
And I think even with you waiting and making sure it's perfect, you've got so much experience and you've got a story to share, you know? So
yeah.
I'm really waiting to just like hear that in your music and your songs. Really looking forward to it now.
Yeah, thank you. I think the first song is called Mutu Thiyo Hatma.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song for all the parents of Nepal. And it actually just portrays that you don't listen to us. You know, where the first line would be like, Falanako chori, falanako chora, derai sune kahani. You know, just simple words.
I've got the chills.
I write my own stuff since I was very little. The first song that peace song that I wrote when I was 12 years old, that was part of the Inflicted Sprite Band Challenge as well, which was quite, which hit the spot quite well for a lot of crowd. But yeah.
Looking forward to it a lot.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, Aisha, having gone through so many different phases and now finding a place that you're comfortable in, sort of content in, what is success to you now?
I think success is having empathy.
Mm.
I think success is also being able to see other people's perspective. And I think success is being mindful about how much effect, how much good you do for me. And it's all about the happiness in the end.
Mm.
I was explaining to my parents about how or what I want to do. And I know that they are, you know, never going to be happy. But for me, it's already a success that I see that I can never make them happy.
Mm.
All I can do is still be good, still do good, build my empire, and time will tell.
Yeah.
But I think success is what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And you will really strive.
I love that you mentioned empathy while defining success. I don't think a lot of people think of success in that way. And it just goes to show the place that you are in at the moment and the person that you are, you know?
Thank you.
Being able to relate with another person, regardless of how they've made you feel, regardless of how hurt you've been, and still being able to relate to them. That's beautiful that you think that success is. That's amazing.
Thank you so much. And yeah, it's the core
yeah.
for me. Yeah.
And to wrap things up, Aisha, if you could give any advice to someone at home who are struggling through fighting for their passion, don't have the support that they need, what would you suggest?
I'd always remember nothing is impossible. The word impossible itself says I am possible. I think the biggest thing is having confidence that you can. When you're confident, half the work is already done.
Mm.
You see so many people doing the same thing that you could do even better.
Yeah.
But only difference is they have the confidence to pursue it. Don't compare yourself. Be confident in what you do. Believe in yourself. Yeah, you will strive. There's no other way than actually, there's no other power than the power of actually believing in yourself.
Mm, I couldn't agree with you anymore. I think that is so true. I was just speaking with another guest earlier this week, and we were talking about how you have the power to change your destiny. You are the only person that can be blamed or congratulated.
Yeah.
Like there is no another person. Like don't give that power to somebody else. Take that power.
No. Yeah. And even if you struggle with, you know, having your values not in line with your parents, there's always a way around it. Fight, cry. Mm. Later in time, they will see.
Yeah.
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 But believe in yourself.
Yeah. And I think once you believe in yourself and you pursue your passion or any field, like your parents will later or sooner, they'll come around and they'll start seeing things. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. And even if they don't, you know, if they see the subtlety of it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because for them to understand is actually not important. You to be able to understand that they can't understand is important.
Remember that empathy.
empathy. Yeah. Doesn't matter what they think. You need to be clear on what you think.
Thank you again so much for your time, Aisha.
Thank you.
And telling us your story and just being so open. I loved our chat today. Like, I have no words.
Thank you so much. I loved our chat today. Woo-hoo. Thank you. No, thank you so much. And, you know, I've never even like published a song, and for you to want to interview me, it's such a big thing. Oh. My heart is so warm and heavy and with love, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But I really felt loved. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And I'm really hoping that we get to meet someday, like, you know, be Australia, New Zealand, very nearby.
Yeah. We met. We're neighbors. Yeah. It would be fun.
Yeah, we do.
As always, if you enjoy these conversations as much as I do, please share with your friends and family. If you'd like to share your feedback, you can reach us on Instagram at hamro.yatra or email askhamroyatra@gmail.com. I love hearing from you, so keep them coming.